Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about GDP. The UK have just released some figures for April, which shows that it's had two consecutive months of falling GDP. And that's a concern for everybody. And we've also got really high levels of inflation in the UK right now. It's currently around 9%, but is expected to increase to 10% once the next set of figures are released. So this is a classic combination of stagnant economy and rising inflation, which, as you'll know if you follow the channel, has been termed stagflation. And there is a risk that stagflation is going to spread all around the developed world. So I want to look at the top 15 economies. I'll show you the list of what those economies are. We'll see where the UK is ranked, and you'll be able to see exactly where your economy sits if it's in the top 15. We'll have a look at the GDP figures for the G7 for Q1 to see exactly how the big economies are tracking right now. We'll talk about what's going on with regards to the cost of living, because it's not just about inflation and GDP. Wage growth is a really important factor in terms of being able to maintain your standard of living. So we'll have a look at that. We'll have a talk about the differences between stagflation and recession and which one of them is more attractive and what governments can do to try to avoid one or the other. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think the likely implications of falling GDP all around the world are going to have for the global economy over the next 3 to 6 months. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you're not interested in a particular section, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you can find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and YouTube Super Thanks feature. And I'd just like to mention that I've recently launched a YouTube membership scheme. So this is similar to what Patreon offers, but it's all part of the YouTube platform, so it's much easier to access. You can just find it below, click, and you'll see the details of what each level of membership entails. If you follow the channel, you'll know that I often make references to the USA being the biggest economy in the world, China being the second biggest economy, the G7, which are the 7 largest economies in the world, the G20, which are the 20 largest economies. And I wanted to put some perspective on that, because I think when you hear these phrases bandied around, it's hard to really get a grip as to what the relative size of all these economies are. And the reason I wanted to do it today is that I'm talking about what's going on in the UK. And some of you who don't live in the UK will be thinking, well, why does that impact on me? So I wanted to show where the UK sits in the top 15 economies in the world and what the relative size of all the economies are, just to give you a bit more perspective on everything. This table shows the current GDP for the top 15 economies in the world. So you can see, as I just mentioned, the USA is number one, and the current annual GDP is $20.89 trillion. China at $14.7 trillion is the second largest economy in the world. And you can see as you look down this table that the United States and China combined are larger than all of the other economies on this list. So that's why whenever I'm talking about global economics, I often refer to the USA, because proportionately it is so much bigger than all of the other economies. Japan is the third largest economy in the world with just over 5 trillion of GDP. Germany comes in at number 4 with just under 4 trillion. 5, 6 and 7 on the list are the UK, India and France, and they have very similar sized economies. Italy is currently number 8 with 1.9 trillion. Canada and South Korea have very similar sized economies, coming at number 9 and 10 with around 1.65 trillion. On this list, Russia comes in at number 11 with just under 1.5 trillion. However, it's likely that they will fall dramatically as we see the impact of the sanctions feed through onto GDP for 2022. Brazil is number 12 with 1.4 trillion. Australia and Spain have similar GDP levels, around 1.3 trillion. And 15th on the list is Indonesia with just over 1 trillion. I personally think there's a few interesting things about the makeup of this top 15. It's interesting that the G7, which are the self-proclaimed most advanced economies in the world, do not sit in the top 7 places here, as China is at number 2 and India is at number 6. And both of those economies are still developing and still growing at a rapid rate. And when you look further down the list, you'd also need to include Brazil and Indonesia in those rapidly developing nations. And in terms of the relative size of population, the largest country in the world is currently China, with over 1.4 billion people. A close second is India, which also has around 1.4 billion people. Third on the list is the USA, which has considerably less at 335 million. Indonesia has 280 million. Brazil has 215 million. Russia, 146 million. Japan, 125 million. Germany, 84 million. The UK, 69 million. France, 65 million. Italy, 60 million. South Korea, 52 million. Spain, 47 million. Canada, 38 million. And the smallest country on this list is Australia, with 25 million people. So I wanted to share this just so everybody gets a better feel for what the relative size of all these economies are, and really give some justification to why a lot of my videos in the past have focused on the US and China economies as really being key to the global economy. The UK has announced that gross domestic product contracted by 0.3% in April, which was entirely unexpected, as economists had forecasted 0.1% positive growth. This result follows on from the fall of 0.1% in GDP seen in March, and it's the first time that the UK has experienced back-to-back monthly declines since March and April 2020, when the country was in the middle of the COVID pandemic. In the 3 months to the end of April, GDP was up 0.2%, which represents a sharp decline from the growth of 0.8% in the 3 months to March. These results follow on from the OECD's recent forecast that the UK would see no growth in 2022 and would have the lowest growth out of any of the countries in the G20 for 2023, with the exception of Russia. One of the most concerning factors about these results is that we have seen a fall in all parts of the economy. The services sector saw a fall of 0.3% in April, and one of the main drivers for this was a significant reduction in the National Health Service test and trace activity relating to COVID-19. Production fell by 0.6% in April, which was driven by a fall in manufacturing of 1% in the month, as businesses continue to report the impact of price increases and supply chain shortages. Construction, which has been performing strongly, also fell by 0.4% in April. And this is the first time since January 2021 that all of the main sectors in the UK have contributed negatively to monthly GDP falls. Alongside falling GDP and rising inflation, UK wages are now falling at their fastest rate for more than 20 years as pay packets fail to keep up with soaring prices. Adjusted for inflation, pay excluding bonuses fell 3.4% year on year in April, which is the biggest decline since records began in 2001 in the UK. In the 2 months between February and April, real pay fell 2.2%, the biggest fall since 2011. So we've talked about what's going on in the UK, but let's have a look at what's going on with regards to the rest of the Western world for quarter one 2022. This table shows the GDP results for the first 3 months of the year. And you can see that on the left of this chart, we've got countries that have experienced negative growth, and on the right, we've got positive growth. The USA, Japan, Italy, and France have all experienced a fall in GDP in the first quarter. And when you add the UK figures that we just discussed to that list, that means that 5 of the top 8 economies in the world are currently experiencing falling GDP. And when you look at the relative size of those economies, the impact on the global economy is actually disproportionately higher. And one of the interesting things when you look at this graph is that as at the end of Q1, the UK was one of the best performers. It was on the far right-hand side of this graph and was showing 0.75% positive growth. But as we've just discussed, that is now starting to be eroded by the last couple of months' performance. So on a trending basis, the UK would now be over on the left-hand side of this chart. And I think that's really the key issue here, is that we are seeing a deterioration in GDP. As global prices continue to remain high for oil and gas and food and commodity items, then it's causing major problems. It's eroding all of the positive growth that these countries were building up as we were coming away from the COVID pandemic problems. So there's a strong possibility that as we go through to the end of Q2 in 2022, that all of the countries on this list will be moved over towards the left-hand side, and we'll see falling growth and potential falling GDP for the whole quarter. So the UK now appears to be hitting stagflation, which is that combination of a stagnant economy and rising inflation. And this is something that we first saw in the 1970s all around the world. So we had lots of issues going on with regards to the supply of oil. It was restricted, and that meant the prices rose and it increased the price of everything. And governments really struggled to be able to shake off stagflation. It sat around for a long period of time. And the reason for that is that you can't control that price of oil. So even if you play around with your interest rates and try to improve what's going on in your own economy, if oil prices stay high, it feeds through into the price of everything. And that's an identical situation to what we've got right now. Because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we have got a lot of volatility in the oil markets. The oil markets now are worried because we've got all of the sanctions against Russia. Nobody wants to buy Russian oil voluntarily. It's still being purchased, but a lot of the Western world are trying to move away from that, as they are with Russian gas as well. And that's causing prices to go up because all the countries are now looking at their alternatives. And when you get an increase in demand, that always drives up prices. But I think the difference to what we had in the 1970s is that we started this period with really high inflation already all around the world. And that was driven predominantly because of what happened with COVID. So as we came out of lockdown and the world unleashed itself, everybody wanted to do everything simultaneously. So there was a massive increase in the demand for all goods and services. And the problem that we had is that we had bottlenecks everywhere because the supply chain had been damaged by what had happened in COVID. A lot of the containers were in the wrong places and people were not fully staffed. A lot of staff had been released during the COVID period. And so it's taken time for industry to be able to get back to full output. And so that increase in demand and the shortage of supply meant that we had an increase in prices. And we were hoping to be able to combat that as we came into the start of 2022. All the governments around the world were ready to start increasing interest rates to bring down the prices and bring down inflation. But what's happened in Ukraine has made that a real problem because the price of oil and all of the other things that we need to buy for imports has all gone up by more than 50%. And so that has fueled inflation even further. So even if the governments around the world now start reducing their interest rates, it's unlikely to be able to solve the inflation problem, exactly the same as what we had in the 70s. Because it's being driven by the price of oil, and oil prices feed into everything because goods need to be transported and therefore you need to buy oil for moving the goods, and the petrochemical industry feeds into a lot of different sectors. So it's very difficult to be able to solve that problem. So we've got this stagflation issue right now, but stagflation really could be just an interim step towards recession. And what's worse than stagflation is a recession combined with rising inflation, because you'll have a contracting economy where people are being paid less and there's less money moving around the economy at the same time as prices continue to rise. And that's not something that we've seen frequently in the past, but it's a very real possibility right now. And the figures we've just looked at show that a lot of the developed economies are on the verge of falling GDP. And if we have two consecutive quarters of falling GDP, then that is technically a recession. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to share the figures that have just come out from the UK because they have come out very early. We haven't seen the April data for a lot of other developed countries. And what these figures show is that the economy is doing worse than everybody expected. The forecast was that we would see some moderate growth, and we've actually seen a fall. And this is 2 months of consecutive falling GDP. And this is for April. So this was at the start of the impact of the Ukraine war. We haven't seen the figures for May or June, but I can tell you that the situation has got worse in May and June because all the prices have stayed very high. We have seen the price of oil actually rising over the last few weeks. Every time some negative news comes out, the price goes up another $5 or $10. And it doesn't tend to come down very quickly. And those prices are hurting everybody. So they will feed in to lower profits. They will feed in to a fall and a contraction in the economy. So as we see the figures being released for May and June, I'm fully expecting that we will see more unexpected results, and they're likely to be worse than everybody's expecting. And the figures that we looked at in terms of relative pay, the adjusted wage figures, show that the cost of living is rising for everybody. If your wages are not rising at the same level as inflation, then that means that you've got less money to spend, your standard of living goes down, and by definition, you will start spending less because your fixed outgoings, such as your rent or your mortgage and all of the other things that you have to pay for on a monthly basis, all stay the same or potentially are actually going up in price, because if you don't have a fixed rate and interest rates are increased, then your mortgage cost or your car loan cost or your credit card fees will all go up each month. So that means that you've got less money in your pocket. So you'll be forced to spend less unless you want to start dipping into your savings. And people don't dip into their savings for discretionary spending. So what that means is that you tend to go out less, you won't eat out, you'll do less day trips, all of those sort of things. And that means that those businesses receive less income, and therefore their profits contract, and therefore they pay their staff less, or they have to release people and they become unemployed. And so the circle goes on. And that's where we're heading right now. The rest of 2022 looks like it's going to be a very difficult period for most people around the world. It's unlikely that we will see a bounce back very quickly because there's no real solution to the high levels of inflation. The only mechanisms that the central banks have to stop inflation, firstly, is to stop quantitative easing. And most of the countries around the world have already announced that they're stopping those programs. So they were fueling the economy all the way through the pandemic period. They wanted to keep the economy buoyant, and that program worked well. But the downside of quantitative easing is that it causes high inflation. And that's what we've got right now. So those programs have stopped. The only other mechanism that central banks have is to start increasing interest rates. The problem with that, as I just discussed previously, is that when the prices are being driven by an external macro factor, such as the price of oil, which is all about global demand and supply for oil, increasing interest rates doesn't fix the problem. It will definitely reduce spending in the economy and therefore may bring down some prices that are more flexible. But overall, as long as the oil prices and the gas prices and the food prices and other global factors stay high, then that means that we're going to have a lot of upward pressure on prices, and therefore inflation will stay up. So the overall summary here is that it's likely for the rest of 2022 that we'll see a contraction in a lot of economies all around the world, and at the same time, we're likely to see high levels of inflation. And that is really quite a disastrous combination and quite a difficult conundrum to be able to solve. I think the bottom line on all of this is that we really need the war in Ukraine to stop. We need some sort of peace settlement, because that's the only way that the global macro markets for all of these commodities will go back to a level of normality. It won't happen overnight. Even if the war stopped tomorrow, we would still have issues because of the sanctions that have been imposed against Russia. And as long as those sanctions remain, there will still be problems, because it's going to take time for the global supply chain to be able to reset itself. If all of Europe decides it has to buy all of its gas via LNG and all of its oil from other places apart from Russia, then that means that we've got changes in the way the buying patterns are working, changes in delivery and additional costs. So inflation is not going to go away very soon. It's likely to persist for at least the rest of 2022 and possibly well into 2023. But overall, if we could see a ceasefire in Ukraine, then it would help us be able to have a program to be able to get back to where we want to be. But as long as the war goes on, all those prices are going to stay high, the pressure on inflation is going to remain, and there is going to be downward pressure on the global economy. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when I see them. Hopefully you found this video useful, informative and educational. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me that thumbs up. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.